Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton. You can see DKR there in the background. You guys were just at practice. This is our practice report for On Texas Football. Practice number 4 for the Longhorns. 30-minute window media. Who wants to start between the two of you about the big news from today?
I'll let CJ start with what he saw. Saw a player walk off holding the hamstring. So I'll let CJ start there. Then I'll get in the offensive line, what I saw there.
Yep. Perfect. Texas starting cornerback Malik Muhammad did not partake a whole lot in practice. He went kind of halfway through stretching immediately as Texas departed into their individual positions. He walked off the field. I saw him pull at the hamstring a little bit. Nothing confirmed at the moment, clearly, but he did not spend much time on the field, probably about a period or two before heading out. Went back into the locker room. It was Gavin Holmes who took over his spot in when Texas went into their team period for the position or pursuit drills. Gavin Holmes was the departure of Malik Muhammad.
And then on the offensive line, look, they're going to move guys around. We know this, Bobby. They're going to move guys around. They're going to – like Jaden Chapman was working at right tackle today after working at left tackle the first open practice. So they're going to move guys around. But it was noteworthy today – first team left guard was Neto. Hayden Connor was working at center, whether that was in two-man drills or in team or in fives. Hayden Connor was working at center. So there you see that first team offensive line today was Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, Jake Majors, Neto, and Kelvin Banks. That was the first round with the ones. The second round with the ones, Cole Hutson was the left guard with the same starting four. So they're going to move things around, but it is noteworthy that Hayden Connor, at least when we were there, worked exclusively at center today. Does that mean he's moved to center? We're not saying that. We're just reporting what we saw today, and that was your first team offensive line out and 5-on-5 there. And in combo, in two-man combo blocks, Hayden Connor was snapping it and working at center today. So he worked at center the entire 30-minute window we were there. So news there at the left guard position. And Cole Hutson continues to work at left guard and not center.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You also mentioned Jaden Chapman at second team right tackle over yep. Andre Kodjo. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I saw. They may have rotated a little bit there from time to time, but that was the kind of the other thing I noticed today. And Jaden Chapman's a guy that he's worked at all five positions since he's been at Texas, and that's continuing to be a theme now because he was at left tackle, third team left tackle that first open practice we were at, and today he was second team at right tackle, at least when I was watching. And that Brandon Baker was third team after that when I was watching there at right tackle and in the two-man drills. So that's a little glimpse into that as well today. So there are a lot of moving parts. They're going to move guys around. Jaden Chapman, Trevor Goosby obviously looks like he's locked into that second team left tackle right now.
Connor Stroh running second team right guard.
Second team right guard. When that second team went out, moving left to right, it was Goosby, Hutson, Ogbo, because Hutson and Neto are rotating with the ones. So Ogbo went with the second group, which is technically your third team left guard. Then obviously Hayden Connor Robertson at center. And then your right guard was Stroh, and your right tackle in that scenario was Jaden Chapman.
Interesting. Hey guys, y'all get a chance to see let's just go position by position. That's the best way I know how to get the most yep. out of this. Before I do that, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. This special report brought to you by the folks at Autograph. Big news, Longhorn fans. We're excited to be working with Autograph, a company co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. Autograph is where real Texas fans get unreal rewards. It's the first app to track and reward fans for loving what they love most, turning passion into access and experiences, founded on the belief that devotion should be rewarded and the future of fandom belongs to the fans. They've been sending true fans to the biggest games in college football and basketball for just $16, just 16 bucks. As we gear up for football season, this means you can score discounted tickets to marquee matchups. All you have to do, scan to download the free Autograph app in the Apple Store and use referral code on Texas. That's referral code on Texas. See where fandom takes you. All right, let's start with the quarterbacks, guys. How did it look? Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, Trey Owens, that trio.
This should come as no surprise. Quinn looks very confident. He looks confident out there, threw the ball accurately. Look, it rained a lot this morning, so it was a slick field for the receivers. So maybe you had to hold on to the ball a split second longer at times today. But both quarterbacks looked really good, really accurate. I saw Arch throw one bad ball in two-man drills, and Sark was like, that was a yard off, with another word incorporated into it. But both guys looked really good. Trey Owens continues. He looks comfortable out there. That's the one thing I would say. I thought running backs looked really good catching the ball today. They were in a little bit of a red zone drill, CJ. And I thought, I'll tell you what, Bobby, I'm going to post some photos later on Instagram and on Texas Football. But, man, Christian Clark looks good out there and physically again. I mean, there's a picture I'm going to post of Christian Clark standing next to C.J. Baxter and Jarrett Gibson, and people are going to be surprised at what they look like. But just adding that into watching the quarterbacks throw to the running backs.
Yeah, I did think the running backs came right into our corner of the end zone as well. So there was a number of, you know, cheers and a number of, you know, Tashard Choice getting after his guys for making sure that the play was made. But I thought the running backs looked good. The quarterbacks, to me, the downfield passing, Bobby, as we talked about last week, it's looking good. And that intermediate phase that we were talking about as well with Quinn Ewers kind of being the strength of his game. And any corner route, dig routes, the comebacks, he looked spot on today. And I'll say the same for Arch Manning as well. But really, really, again, the confidence for Quinn Ewers is really high right now.
What about – I got to ask you guys, what about the running back room? Any injuries? Everybody look healthy?
You know, Jarrett Gibson wears a little bit of a left shoulder harness, which he did his senior year in high school, but nothing alarming there. Jaden Blue may have had a little hitch in his giddy up from time to time, but it was nothing major that kept him out of drills, kept him from running routes. I mean, maybe a couple of nicks, but it didn't keep anybody out of drills.
Savion Red still has a little brace on his hand as well.
Yeah, on the right wrist.
What about the wide receiver spot? I saw Ryan Wingo in that group. I saw Jonte Cook, Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond. All of those guys, wide receivers, any news there?
Nothing that we didn't see last week. Matthew Golden still bouncing around from position to position. Again, the first group that we saw was DeAndre Moore in the slot,
yep.
Isaiah Bond, and Jonte Cook with Golden kind of bouncing around as well. Ryan Wingo backed up Jonte Cook with Aaron Butler right behind him. And then it was Bond, Golden, and Livingstone at the opposite side. So
and Freddie DuBose still not full speed.
Correct.
So by the way, somebody's asked about Colton Vosick. We'll get to that position, but to answer your question, Colton Vosick was on the field.
He was.
Got it. Good stuff. Good. I'm glad to hear that for the young man from Austin Westlake, whose dad's a coach there at Westlake. Guys, tight end position. Any news on Amari Nyblack moving up, down, or sideways in that rotation? I know Gunnar Helm, it looked like in that drill that we just showed, was running with the ones. What are your thoughts there?
Same thing. No change there. I think Nyblack was putting in some good work in blocking drills when he moved over to offensive line. Jeff Banks was really coaching up that in the blocking aspect. Jordan Washington, saw him run a crossing route. One of the things for young tight ends, right, and I noticed this, and Jordan Washington is a keeper. He's going to be a really good player. He didn't run through the route on the shallow cross. Did you see that one, CJ, where the ball ended up getting too far out in front of him? I think he had a little hesitation. The throw was the right throw, but one of those things for a young tight end we did notice today. But Jordan Washington, he's a keeper. That's just part of the learning process. That's all that is.
Gotcha. And the offensive line, we talked about that early. Yep. Anybody there, other than the Neto move to first team with Hayden Connor working at second team center, that could just be them getting in backup work and getting Connor more used to center. But any other moves that you thought that were interesting there, or guys that you thought looked particularly good?
One thing we got on quarterbacks, KJ Lacy was on the field watching practice.
Yes.
We need to mention that. KJ Lacy was there watching practice today. With offensive line, not really, Bobby. I think, looking at those guys for a second time now, DJ Campbell looks really good to me. Physically looks really good. Quickness looks really good. He's a more confident player than he was last year. You can tell. Obviously, he's going to be rugged, tough, and Casey Stutterdish, or more so on contact. But he just looks like a more confident player to me in what I saw. What stands out is all those guys look like they belong. I mean, Daniel Cruz looks like he belongs, right? I mean, you could hear Kyle Flood praising multiple guys through the two-man drills. There wasn't a whole lot of getting on guys in the two-man drills or in the team or in the five-on-five, I should say. That was that's a good sign for Kyle Flood. He's coaching him up, but nobody had to go rerun a drill. Like, it was pretty smooth. I think the offensive line is looking pretty strong right now.
One more note on visitors. Peyton Houston out of Shreveport, 2027 quarterback, was in attendance for practice as well. He was at the Elite 11 yesterday at Westlake High School. I guess just sticking around Texas, not yet offered. He does have 6 offers in the fold right now, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, TCU, among teams that have extended an offer at the moment.
Out of Shreveport, Louisiana, Peyton Houston, you said. Hey, let me ask y'all this. Before we go to defense, and I know y'all got a good look at that, what was the overall tenor of practice? Like, what was the tempo? What was the guys jacked up? What normal practice? What would you say?
I'm not sure it was high energy. I think the rain.
It's a Monday, Bobby.
It's a Monday. But look, I think Tashard Choice's guys always have a lot of energy. They have no choice. Kyle Flood's guys have a lot of energy. You have no choice, right? Now, D-line was on the other end of the field, right? So we weren't close enough to see that. I think at quarterback, Sark's going to – same thing. I mean, you have to bring your energy at that position every day. It's unacceptable not to. But was it the most jacked up practice? No, it's a Monday and it's been raining. I'll say this is DeAndre Moore was getting on Jontae Cook, joking around with him for almost dropping a ball. You could hear some things like that in the end zone. I continue to just like the camaraderie of this group, what you see and what you hear.
And the other thing is, to Jerry's point earlier, there just wasn't a lot of repetition when it came to the drills. Running back, the receivers, quarterbacks, it was flawless. There wasn't a whole lot of needing to go through and do something again because of a fault. You know, it was
good stuff. I think it's interesting. It sounds like it's a normal practice, but it sounds like they may actually be a little advanced from this time a year ago. Where frankly, I mean, we went to a couple and they stuttered a little bit at times, which is, look, it's the spring. That's when you're supposed to stutter. You don't want to stutter in the fall, right? You mentioned y'all didn't see much of the defensive line. Did you see any at all with Trey Moore, Colin Simmons, Ethan Burke, and those guys?
Yeah, Trey Moore was running with the second team again, just out of the pursuit drills. He was behind, Baron Sorrell, Ethan Burke over there. Again, running with Justice Finkley in that second unit. The second unit on the interior defensive line as well was Tia Savea and Aaron Bryant, excuse me. So the first team remained the same with Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins right now. That's what you're going to see continued, at least for the next week. Jobs come in with the new faces, and again with Aaron Bryant. I guess we'll get to linebacker here, but one note I did want to make was Maurice Blackwell was inside the box next to Leonga LaFalle on that second team unit. So a little bit of a switch up there. He wasn't outside at the same spot. He did move to the interior and was right next to Leonga LaFalle when it came to pursuit drills.
And first team there, Anthony Hill, David Benda, along with David Benda.
Yeah. Yes.
Got it. All right. All right. So basically what the edge position, it sounds like you got your guys. Savea was ahead of Jarae Bledsoe in second team. And then it sounds like Aaron Bryant would be playing over the nose, even though he's not an ideal size nose. That just goes more to my take on where they're going to be looking in the portal, guys. They're going to be looking for guys that can line up over the ball. They're not going to be looking for three techniques.
Yeah.
Because if Jarae Bledsoe right now is running three behind Savea, And that tells you that Savea is more of a three than a zero, which we knew already. That's a little bit of a tell about what they got to go attack in the portal.
And let's say this, Dre Bledsoe got some second team reps on Saturday from what we were told as well. So they rotate some of those guys in and out, obviously.
Yeah, just like they did on offensive line, probably a little bit.
And we need to recap that. Let's recap from the top because we've had a lot of people join in now up to over 400 plus. So let's go from the top. CJ on Manny Muhammad. I'll go to offensive line.
Yeah, Manny Muhammad did not finish stretching this morning. He left practice a little gimpy, a little bit on the what looked to be a hamstring issue. He was reaching back, trying to stretch it out during during warmups to begin practice. He left the field and did not return during our media availability window.
And then on the offensive line, I noticed it when they were working on two-man combo blocks that Hayden Connor was working at center today. And I was like, okay, is this just a combo block thing? Or is this going to be an all-media window thing? There you see when they rolled out the first five today, it was Banks left tackle, Neto left guard, Majors center, DJ Campbell right guard, Cam Williams right tackle. Does that mean Neto's your new starting guard? We're not saying that. What we're saying is what we saw in practice today. And then when the second time the ones came, took reps in five-on-five here, Cole Hudson was the left guard. So Neto was the first left guard. Cole Hudson was the second left guard. Hayden Connor worked at center. So does that mean he's going to only play center? We're not saying that at all. Jaden Chapman had been the third team left tackle. Today, he took some second team right tackle reps in whether that was in combo or in fives. So look, it's going to be continued shuffling. You're going to see guys move around. But it was noteworthy today that during our media window, Hayden Connor worked at center and Neto was your first left guard up, followed by Cole Hudson.
Sounds like they're really just trying to get as many people comfortable with that center position as possible, as well as getting – I mean, look, Hayden Connor's done those left guard reps for how many years now?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. You know what I mean? So good for them to try to build some depth through moving people around. Also, let's go to the secondary. CJ, you were telling me just before we went on air – a little change with Jahdae Barron. He's still nursing a slight injury, apparently.
Yeah, he didn't look to be 100% out there. He was running with the third team in the pursuit drills. He was not with that first team unit. That was Jalen Gilbo, who was at the nickel spot again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With no Malik Muhammad out there, it was Gavin Holmes and his spot out there at the outside corner spot. And then moving to the interior, it was Jalen Gilbo at the nickel spot, taking over from what we expected to be Jahdae Barron.
And again, Jahdae Barron was out there. He just may not have been 100%, but he was going through all drills and everything.
Well, you got to remember, he dealt with a toe injury almost all season.
Absolutely. I mean,
those things are long to heal. And again, another three-year starter where you know he knows how to play the position, right? Gilbo was running first team. Y'all remember who was running second team at Star at this point?
I did not see it.
Okay, all right. We'll look into that and try to report back. What about the safety group? Same guys as Saturday that we heard.
I think Derek Williams, Taff with Kuban, Jelani McDonald, second team, and we didn't get to the third team. But Saturday it was Phil Samia and Jordan Johnson Bell running third team for what we're told.
It was Austin Jordan at second team nickel.
Austin Jordan. Him.
Which that's okay, a note because Gilbo and Jordan are still working nickel and not safety in our media viewing window, Bobby. So that's of note. Maybe the young safeties, they really do like what they're seeing from those young guys. And, of course, the addition of Makuba and Jelani McDonald being second team as well.
Gotcha. Hey, Major Alexander says, I just signed up for On Texas Football. It's by far the message board and site that I've seen amongst them all. Thanks, Major. We try to keep it pretty short and to the point on there. Not a lot of fluff. Of what we get going on that stuff. Hey guys, I got to ask you, this is your second media window period that you've seen. Anybody or anything standing out to you, Jerry, I want to start with you, Jerry, on this because on Coffee and Football this morning, you made a comment that I agree with. You think this is the most talented Texas team you've seen in a while. I agree with that 1-85. I don't necessarily know that there's a Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell or even a Byron Murphy on this team where there might be those top-end guys other than Quinn that are ready to bloom or blossom. But the depth, is that really what you still see today? Is that that's where this thing is headed?
Yeah, I think that no doubt about it. That's three straight top five recruiting classes, 17 early enrollees here with that group. I mean, look, we don't even mention Colin Simmons. We have a 30-minute media window, right? I mean, just think about the talent we're not mentioning right now. And when you see the guys warming up position by position, even in stretching, with the portal guys, I mean, this is an extremely talented team and program now. Is it where Georgia is? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this is the most talented Texas team, one through, what do they have, 85 right now? I think they have full 85 out here, by the way, that I've seen in a long time. And I want to mention another thing today. Ian Ratliff was punting that football, guys. I mean, he, in special teams now, Ian Ratliff looks really good punting the football. If he ended up, and I'm just saying by chance, he ended up the guy, he's not void of talent punting the football. By the way, first team punt return was Isaiah Bond, Jonte Cook second, Aaron Butler third is what CJ saw on that.
And it was I got some notes on the gunners and the upbacks as well. First team, it was Trey Wisner, met with Gavin Holmes opposite of him. We talked about how important that group was last year with Keaton Crawford and Keelan Robinson. That's going to be a point of emphasis again this spring and going into the fall, where you know your punter might not be up to the leg that we saw last year with Ryan Sanford. The upbacks was Savion Red at 240 pounds, Ethan Burke, and Gunnar Helm. That was your first team upbacks on the punt squad.
Interesting. They basically break those guys down into four groups, right, and then try to work it around in the entire system. So they're four deep there, and everybody gets a chance. I think that's good stuff. My question to you, CJ, is you're a little bit younger than Jerry and myself. What are you seeing athletically out there? Is it in line with what Jerry sees? Where are you coming out on it?
Yeah, I love watching this offensive line because you know how deep they are and you know how much talent is there. In years past, you know, you could see that defensive line, you know, kind of taking over. Especially when you had the bodies like a Keandre Coburn, Amaro Ojemo, Sweat, Murphy, you knew what you had on the interior of the defensive line. Now, whenever I look on that side of the ball, it's the edges that really stand out. And when you look at it from afar, it just feels, you know, bigger, if that's, you know, to put it in layman's terms. You know, that group is significantly larger, more athletic looking than it was previously, whether it be, you know, Ethan Burke growing up, Baron Sorrell adding to his frame. But then you look at, you know, some of the smaller guys, and you're probably most experienced, most productive piece so far is Trey Moore, who does not look like he's going to be the most physically imposing guy when he walks into a room. Right behind him is Colin Simmons, who pound for pound is probably your most athletic and talented defensive end in this roster. So that group to me, just looking at it from afar with Pete Kukowski having his hands on that group, really encouraging. And I think there's going to be quite a step up in production on the field this year as a result.
Jerry and CJ are live there at DKR right now. We're talking a little practice right now. Look at that on the porch, Mr. Sorrell, 88 is great. I'm sure he's happy. His son got a little call out there. They're live at DKR, CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton, just coming out of the second practice, or excuse me, the fourth practice of spring ball, the second media viewing window as well. All right, guys, any other comments that y'all want to make? Do y'all want to take a couple of questions here? See what they had going from here. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So let's ask this. I think there's a couple of thoughts in overall. Brendan Bauer talks, how the cornerbacks look today? Who is running where? You mentioned Manny Muhammad. That's probably the news of the morning. He's out with what appears to be a tweaked hamstring. You said Holmes and Brooks were the first team guys at corner. Who are following those guys right now in the pursuit drills, CJ?
Repeat that, Bobby. You stuck a little bit on the camera.
Oh, okay. Who was second team corner behind Holmes and Brooks with Muhammad out today because of the tweaked hamstring? Sorry.
Yeah, Wardell Mack was out there, and Kobe Black got some run as well. A bit of a step up for both guys, obviously, with the departure of Malik Muhammad. Warren Robertson was out there as well. So the three of them are all getting run in the second team pursuit drills. Again, kind of the elevation of Gavin Holmes to that first squad allowed for the opportunity for the two early enrollees to step in with that second unit.
Got it. Guys, anybody, we've got some reports that somebody was dropping balls at practice on Saturday. Anybody that looked like they had questionable hands out there at receiver?
I don't know about questionable hands. A little bit of a slippery football today. Ryan Niblett had a drop on a stop route today. But again, it's a little bit of a slippery ball day out here because they're on the DKR today, and that is that sport turf. And if that ball is a little slick, it's going to be different. But the only ball I saw hit the ground today was Niblett when I was watching.
This one's from Pat Arpu. I can't believe David Benda hasn't been unseated yet. Guys, I got to be honest. From what I saw last Tuesday, I don't know that he's going to be, or more importantly, that he needs to be. What do y'all think? Y'all seen in 2 days now?
I sit there as well, Bobby, just because, I mean, it's tough to replace the experience that he's had and the kind of the steps and development that he's taken over the last couple of years. Last year, I mean, he was your starter coming into fall camp as well. It wasn't until a five-star freshman, Anthony Hill, who we all agree on, needed to be on the field, kind of took those snaps away from him. So coming in as the eldest guy in the room, it's his spot to lose at the moment, and it's going to have to take guys like Maurice Blackwell, Leongla Fowler, or even Kendrick Blackshear to unseat him at the moment. Moving forward, I would expect to see David Benda right next to Anthony Hill, and you're starting 11 defensively moving forward.
Pua followed up with best linebacker in coverage. I mean, we probably all have opinions on that. Leongla LaFalle is really natural in coverage.
Yes.
Interesting. That's interesting stuff. We also said, already answered this one, but I want to go back to it because he was off the field a little bit on Saturday. Colton Vosick returned, correct?
Colton Vosick was out there. I did not see a lot of him in the drills that I was watching of the defensive ends. Again, there weren't a lot of movement drills that they were undergoing. It was more hands getting off the ball, understanding where hand placement needs to be. I did not see a lot of him movement-wise, but he was padded up and out there today.
Got it. Guys, speaking with Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel outside DKR right now, Longhorns' latest practice. The next practice for the Longhorns is what day, guys?
It'll be Wednesday morning, and then another one on Friday.
Okay, so last week was Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. This week they're going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it looks like, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It's Easter weekend, right? I mean, so that makes sense to me. By the way, we mentioned, but we want to reiterate it, KJ Lacey, competed in Elite 11. CJ was there yesterday. He's on the practice field making a little unofficial visit to Texas before he flies back to Mobile, Saraland High, today. So he was out on the field watching spring practice from the sidelines today.
Gotcha. All right, guys. I think that's going to – we have one more thing I wanted to get to, and this is kind of important to me. Where is Texas at right now on the defensive line, in y'all's opinion? And – look, I go back and forth on this. Y'all mentioned who was up there today. What do they look like? I know they don't have Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, but I was wanting to get a second look, and see what was going on. Anything there as far as y'all are concerned as it relates to that defensive front right now?
Now, I thought Savea looked really good physically at Pro Day. Just looking at him. I actually had a chance to talk with him a little bit about his background in football and being, Las Vegas, Desert Pines is where he played. And Johnny Nance recruited him out of high school to UCLA. But, I think, we all talking about the same thing here. An over the ball guy with that SEC size, I think is still a need, especially while, Sadir, what's going on with Sadir health wise. Right. But he was out there today, obviously. But, I think the edge Baron Sorrell looks great physically. Ethan Burke looks better than he ever has. It's not like he's gaining a lot of weight or mass, but he looks better than he ever has. Trey Moore, Colin Simmons, Justice Finkley, that edge position, I think, is grown up so much in this program in the last 3 years. And now I think it's going to be the best Texas has had at that position this year. I think on D-line, I think the one thing that is interesting to me is, you know, who's going to really, Bobby, as spring practice moves along and they really start to get into game planning the Michigan game, who's going to be your guys that are looked at or as the guys who can anchor against the run? Because you know what Michigan's going to do against you, right? And the spring portal, that may kind of answer that question. But I think Saveya is going to provide more there in as a run anchor guy than Vernon Broughton. Vernon's more of the disruptor. So that'll be interesting as spring practice moves along and as they really start prepping up for Michigan, kind of where the Texas staff's head's at.
Yeah, if I can add to that, you know, you have athletic pieces there on the defensive line, but you don't have that one key over the ball stopper there. You have a piece, you know, you look physically and you say, all right, Sadir is going to be that guy. But as we know, at 372 pounds, how often can you rely on him to be a consistent piece down in and down out? That's the biggest question mark to me. And with him running in that third team unit right now, I think Texas is looking at it like there's still a ways to go to get him on the field with where you'd like him to be.
And by the way, I want to mention Cortland Guillory, the defensive back from Klein Oak that's making an official visit to Texas June 7th through 9th. He was at practice Saturday on an unofficial visit. Obviously, he's visiting Arizona State, Texas A&M. That Texas visits June 7th through 9th. Where he's at on the board, we'll see after spring practice.
Interesting. Cortland Guillory. There's also a report that Andrew Marsh, the receiver, was on campus today.
He was scheduled to be on campus today. That's correct. I did not see him with my eyes. He could have been out there. I didn't see him.
Yeah, no, you guys are – it was very interesting because Matt put up the video. Y'all had the long view of the stadium. Y'all had the end zone view.
We were in the north end zone.
Yep, exactly where Matt's putting it up now. There's a little bit more video for you
guys.
And
a lot of those recruits are down in the end zone back left, south side, back towards back left corner.
The one running the angle route up here at the top, that is, or the over route, that was Ryan Wingo.
That was Ryan Wingo.
Yep, the one coming out here that drops it is Isaiah Bond right here, right? That's Bond, guys, correct? Number 7? Yep, I got it.
That's Isaiah Bond.
All right, and Niblett's underneath there, and then that's Matthew Golden who elevated there.
Matthew Golden, strong hands, continues to show strong hands to me, and I think that factors in everything he does, right? Kickoff return, catching the football at wide receiver. He's a guy with strong hands.
All right. Good stuff, guys. That's going to do it for our special update. We'll be back. And remember this, CJ, you'll be with Coach Bob Shipley and Rod Babers for our new show called The Winning Drive this afternoon at 4:30. We appreciate you guys doing that. That should be a lot of fun. And you'll have some more information. Coach Sarkisian has a press conference following practice at 11. So we'll have that, as well as we'll have Talking Ball later tonight too. So a lot of information coming out on the Longhorns today. CJ, you will be at that press conference for us and be able to relate anything back to us as quickly as possible if there's any update on Manny Muhammad's injury, although it sounds more like a tweak to me than anything else. All right, that's going to do it. Jerry, y'all have anything else before we let people go here?
Nah, man, I just glad the weather held off. When I was in Bastrop on my way up from Houston, it was raining sideways for a while, and I was like, you know, I had the feeling I was going to end up turning around north, a little west of Bastrop and headed back to high schools on I-10 somewhere. So I'm glad the weather held off this morning. It was looking iffy for a while.
All right, good stuff. CJ, thank you. Jerry Hamilton, thank you. We'll be back later today with more information, especially after Steve Sarkisian's press conference. For CJ and Jerry, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been On Texas Football. Hook 'em.